as the Premier League enters a pivotal weekend. Three blockbuster clashes promises drama, redemption, and title-defining moments. Hello and welcome to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me to unpack this weekend's Premier League action are football analysts Mark Stradom and Nigel Nyker. Gents, welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Good morning to the listeners.
Great to be here, Desh. Let's dive into it.
The round starts with a good old-fashioned Merseyside derby, a fixture that has not been kind to Everton in recent years. But Nige, there is a sense of optimism among the Toffees.
Yeah, no doubt, especially with how they started the league this season under David Moyes. A couple of new signings looking really good there as well. So definitely be optimistic. And they always turn up against Liverpool, so I think it'll be an exciting game.
All eyes have been on Jack Grealish. I mean, the man is playing with silky freedom, reminiscent of his Villa days.
Yeah, you're right about that, Desh. It's actually nice to see, refreshing to see, because that 100 million price tag when he went to City, we expected him to shine. We saw what he did at Aston Villa. I think if you're ever looking for a one-man team, Jack Grealish will be the number one on the list, because he did take Aston Villa from nothing straight to the big time. And to see, I don't want to say downfall at City, but he wasn't the same player. Now to see him happy and doing what he does best at Everton is a good sign.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, if I do say so myself, because it is not a downfall. He just wasn't as hot as he was at Aston Villa. Nige, 4 assists in 2 Premier League matches. I think the movement of Ndiaye and Dewsbury Hall has helped that.
Yeah, no doubt. And Grealish always had it in his locker. We saw it at his Villa days. When you let him loose, he's such a joy to watch. I mean, creativity is off the charts. And I think credit to Moyes for poaching him and getting him back to his best.
Yeah, it does look like a thrilling revival there. Of course, this weekend's action is at the Hill Dixon Stadium. There is attacking flair. There is a new home atmosphere, but they are up against the defending champions, Liverpool.
Yeah, a tough opponent to face. Liverpool won all 3 of their opening games as well.
It's actually 4-4-4.
4-4-4, sorry. Yeah, and looking really good. You don't want to face the champions when they're in the stride. So let's see.
Yeah, Mark, they've barely put a foot wrong since the league has started. 12 points from a possible 12, top of the table. It would be some statement to go 5-4-5 from your opening 5.
Definitely is a statement, and especially with them being the defending champions. But also in saying that, it hasn't been easy goings for them. They've had some difficult times, especially against Burnley last time on. It took until the 95th minute to get a penalty. So unlucky for Burnley. But it just shows that if teams do come up with a good game plan and stick to it and get the tactics right, they can be stopped. And they've also brought in some new players who haven't hit the ground running yet, like Wirtz. They still have Isak to bring in. Kirk is, you can see, has shown some signs where he's vulnerable in the left-back position. So Frimpong's just come back. They've been
from
shifting
the bench, because he's been subbed off a few times this season.
So they are signs where you can attack them, but champions always find a way to win, and they showed it against Burnley.
Let's actually look at that battle then for that starting place, because Milos Kerkez was subbed off, I think, at halftime, or possibly in the first half against Burnley, and I think Robertson came on and he had an absolutely worldy of a game.
Yeah, we know Robertson's a quality footballer. He showed it for many years at Liverpool. He's good in defence, very good attacking-minded defender as well. I think for Kerkez, I think it's just finding his feet, finding his place in the team. He's a bit rash when it comes in the tackles, and I think he was just subbed more because he had a yellow card already. And going to Burnley, you know, it's physical. Something might happen, and just to save him, They replaced him, and it worked out at the end.
Yeah, I mean, if he got sent off that fixture, you would have to miss this massive clash against Everton. And, you know, that battle on that flank is looking tasty, if I do say so myself.
Definitely. It's a housewarming for this new stadium and this rivalry. So it's definitely going to be end-to-end, I think. So this fixture always brings the best out of Everton as well. And with the extra 15,000 seats in the stadium, you know what that's going to give them, extra motivation, and it's definitely going to be one to watch.
new signing Alexander Isak is yet to make his debut for Liverpool. Nige, he's going to add a different dimension to Arne Slot's attack. Do you think this weekend he makes a start?
I think the stage is set. Whether he starts will be a difficult one. Is he match fit? I think they want to prime him to get to the best peak condition before he does play. So yeah, I think, but the stage is set for him to come on and really mark his Liverpool career with a good performance in the Merseyside derby.
Yeah. This weekend, are you sitting on the fence or can you see a winner?
It's really difficult, I think, to call this game. I think Everton gets something, maybe on the double chance. I'm backing Everton to get something, yeah.
I have to agree. Looking at Liverpool's previous performance against Burnley, it wasn't that potent like you would get from Liverpool. So with Everton, new stadium, how they're playing with Moyes there, I agree with Nigel.
All right. I think that makes it all three of us, actually. At the opposite end of the weekend, we have a title-defining encounter as Manchester City travel to the Emirates to face Arsenal. Nige, the Emirates has shown what a fortress it is in recent years. However, this season, 8 goals scored, 0 conceded, 6 points from a possible 6.
Yeah, excellent start at home. And I hope that they can continue that this weekend. Let's see. The defense looks really good. 2 clean sheets. Raya has been excellent. And scoring goals at the other end, they do look like a real force at home, definitely.
Yeah, and the midweek encounter against Athletic Club just showed them what a force it is. Mark, you were particularly impressed with Mosquera. What have you made of his signing so far?
I've been very impressed with him. So young. He's just come in. It hasn't taken him long to foot in the setup, the gameplay, the tactical positioning, the covering, everything that you want from a centre-back, especially coming in, filling in Saliba's boots. You know what Saliba offers Arsenal defensively, and for him just to come in and fit in so easily and be so comfortable on the ball and in the position the way Arteta wants to play from the back, defending his net. So I've been very impressed with him, and I think he's got a bright career in an Arsenal shirt.
This weekend could be his toughest test yet against Erling Haaland. The Norwegian forward leads the Premier League goal charts with 5 goals to his name, including a brace in the Manchester derby last weekend.
Oh, definitely. I think any defender will have a tough time against Haaland. But in the same time, I think they're also up for the challenge because that's a good test for them just to see how far their game is as well. And coming into the Premier League, I think he will relish this opportunity to come up against these good strikers because he is a gritty defender. There's no messing around with him. He's a hard tackler. He's always running back. He doesn't mind covering. And I think this is where he needs to show up. This is why Arsenal bought him. That's why he's already got the trust from his teammates and the manager. So it's time to step up and show what it's about.
You have to wonder if European competition would affect the outcome of this match. Nigel, no, off camera, you were speaking about City's scheduling crunch. They play Napoli on Thursday evening and then Arsenal on Sunday evening. I mean, it's a rotation dilemma.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Pep will be really upset about the fixtures. To play Champions League football on a Thursday and then prep for a Sunday Premier League game against Arsenal is going to be really difficult. But then again, that's why you have 2 squads. That's why you have a multi-billion squad at your disposal. So they're going to have to figure it out. He's got riches to choose from. So, yeah.
Not too worried. It doesn't sound like you're worried at all.
No doubt. Look, in the broader sense where you'd want players playing too many games and getting injuries, yeah. Maybe.
Playing well for is very important, actually.
100%. But that's why Pep assembles squads like this for these occasions, to play 2-3 games a week and have the same quality. So I think they've got to deal with it. It's going to be a tough challenge, though.
Yeah, I think the last time Pep actually went to the Emirates, he caught hands. I think it was something like 5-1. You guys were elated by that scoreline. In fact, both analysts in studio reminding me of what a thumping it was. Are we going to have a similar performance from the Gunners this weekend?
Definitely. I think the Gunners have set the tone when it comes to the Emirates. There's no messing about. They've made it a fortress. I think even the teams in the league know when you go to the Emirates, it's going to be a tough time. They've set the marker. Defensively, you've mentioned no goals conceded. The defense is quality. They've brought in extra players to cover. Raya's been excellent. And Gokere is already off the mark. So whether in defense or in attack, I think Arteta has built his own squad. He's instilled his qualities and is bearing the fruits now.
Yeah, let's actually shed some light on that Arsenal firepower. It's been four games since the season started. I mean, not enough to exactly judge the entire season on, but there has been signs about Noni Madueke, Eberatsi, Eze, as well as the substitutes.
I personally wasn't one to go out and say Madueke was a good signing, but
possibly just the opposite, actually.
Now, because I was looking at it, if you put 50 million in a pool of players, you wouldn't go and pick out Noni Madueke. And I'm not taking anything away from him now, but he's proven that there is something in there, and it's just about taking time. And I'm so happy for him that he's been given this opportunity. And with Saka getting injured was probably a blessing in disguise, because outside on the left, it didn't show as much as he's shown now in the past two or three games, especially last night in the Champions League. He's direct, he's decisive, he's got pace, he's got good skills, and you could say he's a perfect replacement for Saka at the moment.
Yeah, and I think he will have a bit of luck on his side when you look at the likes of Kusunov and O'Reilly marshalling the flanks for Man City. I think against United, Mazraoui and Patrick Dorgu were getting in behind on multiple occasions. And I think the final stats showed something like 23 crosses attempted throughout the 90 for Man United. If you're Arsenal, you know you've got aerial threats, people who can get into the box, and a winger who can put the ball in there. I mean, we saw Eze's assist last weekend for Victor.
Yeah, I think City allowed it to happen also. I think you give United time and space in the wings. You have Dorgu and Mazraoui picking it up, but you can't do that against Arsenal. I mean, you'll have, honestly, Eze and Madueke in acres of space. I don't think Pep plans for that. I think he'll be on them, probably even double man mark them twice, with, like we saw it in the past with Saka, two men on them on the wings when they get the ball. So I think it'll be a very different tactical game, and Pep will definitely plan well for these wingers, definitely.
Yeah, well, both these outfits are Liverpool's closest challenges. I'm sure the rest of the competition will thin out as the season goes on. But a win here isn't just 3 points. It's also a psychological edge.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they managed to turn that tide last season when they did beat them 5-1 last season. And now it's about really making your mark. We know City are not the best team that they were over the past few seasons. They are in transition. So a great opportunity now to go and win there and put down a marker for the rest of this season.
Mark, last weekend saw Gianluigi Donnarumma make his debut at City. It was an impressive performance from him, given that it was the Manchester derby. I was impressed with what I saw, but what is your verdict of him?
He just showed what he's about. Excellent save from Mbeumo. Good with his hands. I think it was last week, he might not be as good as previous goalkeepers, Edison, especially with his feet. But then again, you still need a shot stopper, and that's exactly what he is. He showed it in the Champions League last season for PSG. I think he was a standout performer. He could have been one of the players that got PSG to win the Champions League. You saw him against Arsenal as well. So throughout the Champions League, he proved it, and I think City got a perfect replacement, especially when it comes to shot stopping.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a busy man on the night. Gents, your predictions for this weekend's encounter?
Neutral, I'm going to go with Arsenal 2-1.
Yeah, unbiased as well. Yeah, I think City go there and lose. I think Arsenal are too strong to bully them in the midfield, and I think they win, both teams to score.
Yeah, glad to see both neutrals calling Arsenal. Another cracking encounter sees Manchester United hosting Chelsea. Now, unfortunately, the 2025-26 season marks United's worst start since the 92-93 era. Just 4 points from four games, big changes have been made, but the problem still persists.
Desh, I don't know where to even begin with this one without being so harsh, because at the end of the day, this is United we're speaking about, and not just any team, probably the biggest team in England, if not the world as well. So with everything happening at United, you can't see where this will bring light or will unfold, where they will start getting results, because this is Amorim's second season. They've heavily backed him. They've spent money. They've brought in players. He's got rid of some players, which I believe shouldn't have left. They should have kept. And I give credit to Amorim, right? I get that you have to be stubborn and stick to your philosophy because it has worked for you, and sticking to your guns. I get that, and I give him credit for that. But at some stage, you got to adapt to your surroundings, and that's the Premier League. I know that his formations and his tactics work perfect in Portugal.
Yeah.
But England, the Premier League, is a totally different animal. And I think somewhere you got to eat some apple pie and say, you know what, let me adapt. Let's do something that's going to bring results. Because at the end of the day, this game is results driven. And right now, that's something they are not getting, and far from it.
Maj, let's look at some of those United signings then. Sesko made his start in the Manchester derby. Of course, he barely saw the ball. I don't even recall if he had a shot. I think it was the fourth minute or something. He had a strike and goal, but it never looked like it was going to test Donnarumma. Quiet for large portions of the game. Cunha was ruled out of that one. I'm not sure if he's going to make his appearance this weekend. But so far, what have you made about the United attack?
Look, Sesko is a bit raw. I think he needs a lot of time to adjust to the Premier League. And then Cunha looks like a top buy. Mbeumo looks like a top buy. But did they really address the problems in the squad? I think not.
The CDM position.
The CDM position, yeah. The goalkeeper could have maybe got...
They did address the goalkeeper situation. They sent Onana out on loan. They brought Lemens in. I've heard very good things about him from my football networks, although I'm not sure if he's going to make his appearance anytime soon.
Yeah, look, the question is he Premier League ready? So, I mean, you made the decision to take Onana, send Onana away, but even that to so late in the transfer window, you showed your priorities were getting the attack in order. And like Mark said, he doesn't think that the players that they got rid of should have been. I mean, there's a few players they could have used and maybe invested in the squad elsewhere. So look, there's still holes in the squad after spending 200 million. There's holes in Amorim's tactics. It's really damning for United at this moment.
You know, the exact opposite case can be made for Manchester City, for Chelsea. You look at Cole Palmer, what a signing he's been for Chelsea since arriving. I think every week he's guaranteed some sort of return. Then you look at João Pedro, an electric start to his Premier League stint with Chelsea. 2 goals, 3 assists and 4 Premier League appearances.
We can't talk highly enough of these players. The thing that makes me so happy and excited to watch is that they're so young, but the football they play is so far beyond their years. Mm-hmm. Cole Palmer's creativity, what he can do on the ball, what he sees on the pitches is totally different to everybody else. The goals he can score, free kicks, through balls. So his ceiling is so high. João Pedro, he showed it at Brighton what he can do. And now just surrounded by quality players, it makes his game even more easy for him to express himself. So Chelsea, we know Chelsea does some incredible work. They bring 1,000 players in. But at the end of the day, these are quality players, and it's up to Maresca now just to steady the ship, find his best 11 and find consistency.
You know, just to elaborate on Cole Palmer, another incredible thing he can do is come off the bench and impact the game, because not is it just goals, assists, but now he's shown that he has the mentality to even start on the bench and, you know, work his way into the game. But I mean, it wasn't his day ultimately against Brentford last week and a massive result for the Bees, but he's shown what he can do when called upon.
That's the type of quality he has. That's the type of player he is. Not many players can sit on a bench and watch and come on and be the difference, probably get on the score sheet, create a goal. So that's the type of play is. He showed it. And I think there's so much more to come from him.
Looking at the defensive side of things, Chelsea, of course, conceding twice against the Bees last week, and including that last gasp equaliser. Nige, could United find a goal in this game?
Yeah, no doubt, especially with the attack that they have. I mean, Mbeumo has been top. He looks like he's due a goal as well. Maybe they get Cunha back fit. He'll be a big threat. And at Old Trafford, I mean, they can trouble teams, definitely. And I think Chelsea haven't won there or got a result in like 10 years or 2013, the last time. So I think United are also under pressure. So they'll go there and target this game to definitely get a positive result.
They're definitely under pressure. For United, it's actually about survival and pride of all things right now. A win for Chelsea could cement their place in the title challenge, but a defeat for Amorim could spell the end. Where are you on his managerial credentials right now? Is he close to the sack? Is his position safe? What are your thoughts right now about that?
I honestly think they have to make the cut and do it very soon. The sooner the better. I know they backed him with a lot of money. And
sooner the better is mental.
Yeah, I think, look, it's mainly because his tactics are so set in stone. He doesn't want to change. And then again, you look at Manchester United being a top world-class team. Not many elite teams play with three at the back. Not many elite teams invert their centre-backs to face the goal during goal kicks. I mean, it's really crazy that he's doing it at Manchester United. And it's also scary that the higher-ups are allowing it to happen, change the identity of Manchester United so much.
But it's not just any higher-ups. It's Sir Jim Ratcliffe who came in, of course, with his checkbook, and he splashed the cash, let's be honest. So he must be watching this thinking, or pulling out whatever hair he's got left.
Yeah, no doubt. I think go back to the drawing board, get Amorim out, and get a manager who is going to come in and revitalize the club, get the connection back, similar to what Arteta had done with Arsenal. We were down and out, and this guy came in, revitalized the club completely. It's something similar that United need.
Yeah. Mark, let's play devil's advocate for a bit. If you don't agree, let me know why. If you do agree, also let me know why. Because right now, I'm on the fence as it stands. I do want to see if it will change. But when you start a season like this, after coming in for 6 months, at a troubled outfit, it doesn't bode well.
Yeah, definitely. So if you get rid of him, you got to get someone in to come in. Because over the years, United has built a culture. I think when players know they're going to United, they're going into a system. Especially when you hear past players of Sir Alex Ferguson, there was no messing around with Alex Ferguson. You come in, it's his way or no way. And that brought results. When you hear Beckham talking about it, Giggs, these are all treble winners. And it worked. If you keep him, I will understand. Because that brings
faith in the manager.
It brings confidence. You give him time to work with the players. But at the same time, how much time is it going to cost? Because each week goes, results bring points. If you don't bring points, the problems persist. And the longer you keep it, the worse it gets as the season goes. Because the next manager that comes in, he also needs time. And how quick he adapts.
Another dismal season.
Exactly.
Cards,
yeah. So for that team, it's a bit on both sides. And it's just unfortunate that it's happening at this time. And like Nigel mentioned earlier, they spent so much money in attack, which is fair. But they could have kept Rashford. Maybe his situation could have been handled better. Garnacho's situation could have been handled better. Diallo's playing right wing back, which is crazy to see. Sesko looks like he hasn't been off the plane yet. Defensively, all your hopes lie on Maguire, which is. I can't see what's happening. De Ligt doesn't look the same player he was when they spoke about him. Lenny Yoro looks like something's there, but he needs a lot of training.
But I was not impressed with him last weekend against Man City.
I don't think even United fans are. So the main problem now is to get the attack going is Bruno Fernandes and the help that he needs, because they're holding Bruno back from doing his job. Casemiro's legs are finished. He can't do it anymore. As good as he is, all the accolades he's won, I think his time is up. Ogata is a walking red card. He's not up to for the challenge. So if they had invested in a proper CDM at the time and freed Bruno to do what he'd done when he first landed, so it's just all over the place, and it's just unfortunate for such a good team like United.
Gosh, what a way to start now. Look, they're currently in 14th. A defeat this weekend could mean they're in a relegation battle. Of course, if they win, it just papers over the cracks for a little bit. This weekend, who's taking it?
Tough one to call. I think with the pressure that they're under, and especially at Old Trafford, I think they might get a positive result, especially with Chelsea, no striker, maybe João Pedro leads the line. But they also have Bayern Munich, Champions League, so United will be fresh. I think United get something.
I have to agree with Nigel. The pressure that's on them, having a home ground advantage.
Yeah.
And the
minimum defense, 1 point.
Minimum 1 point. Chelsea defensively, Maresca hasn't had a consistent back line since the start of the season. I don't think he's maintained the spine or the core of the team. So I think United will find joy in there.
All right. I guess all three of us are reading off the same hymn sheet once again. Let's look at the remaining fixtures for the Premier League action match day 5. Burnley hosting Nottingham Forest at Turf Moor. Impressively, Scott Parker's outfit holding United and Liverpool right till the death.
Yeah, look, that low block is so frustrating. I mean, they're so compact. They close down their men. They force you wide, make you recycle time and time again. And they hit you on the counter with Foster, with Jadon Anthony. They're a really frustrating team to play through to their strengths and put in performances. So, yeah, tough team to face, definitely.
This weekend, Ange will look to take his Nottingham Forest outfit out again. Last weekend, not the best result. I mean, a 3-0 thrashing away from home.
Yeah, but to be fair to Ange, I think he just had 2 days with the team. And we all know the type of football he likes to play, all-out attack and no defense. So to get his philosophy instilled into the team, it's going to take some time. He does play exciting football, expansive football, and I do believe that he has the players in that squad to play that style. And I think he's going to find a lot of joy in that team, and it's an exciting team to watch. But just to touch on Burnley, how they held Liverpool, that's what makes the Premier League so exciting, because you can go to any team and have a hard time. And like Nigel mentioned, the tactics, they were brilliant. And I know they're going to make this game as difficult as possible for Nottingham Forest as well.
Yeah, I think it sounds like both of you are calling a win for Burnley on the day.
Draw or win for Burnley, I can see.
Yeah, it's a tough... Are they playing a Turf Moor? Yeah, it's a tough place to go. I think they get something and still need some time to get going. So I think, yeah, Scott Parker's team gets something.
All right. Next up, we've got Brighton hosting almost top of the table, Tottenham. Yeah. We know the Thomas Frank dispatched West Ham United last weekend with 3 second-half goals in the London derby. Your thoughts so far on his rebuild?
I think we sing his praises every week. He's such a top manager. To go there to Spurs and make them look so good already. I mean, first 4 games, 3 wins. They were good in the Super Cup against PSG. And so compact. And he's doing a really good job. And a good opportunity for them to get another win against Brighton, who look a bit shaky as well.
Yeah, I think Brighton... They did have a really successful season last year. It does look like there have been some building blocks. We looked at some of the positions that they've strengthened, especially in the Brighton hierarchy. I believe they've appointed a new sporting director and technical director. Surely results on the pitch will improve this weekend?
I think so. I think Fabian Hertzler is an exciting manager, young, but his team do play some really good football. I think the problem with Brighton is you cannot expect to raise the bar every season or reach new heights when you lose your best players every year. You got to find a way to keep your best players and invest and help out where the team can grow, and that way you can get to compete high up the table. So with Hertzler coming in, they have played exciting football. Defensively they do have cracks, and that's the key area, especially with a young team like that as well.
Going down to Bournemouth, 2-1 last weekend. Aren't the best results away from home?
Yeah, definitely. But then again, Bournemouth is a quality team as well, especially at home. Areola's built an incredible team there. But just to go on, again on Brighton, especially from last season, the inconsistency they've shown. They do go forward, they do get goals, but
they found their back net twice against Man City in their 2-1 win.
Exactly. So there are signs that they can do it. They can compete. They do have players. It's just about staying consistent and sticking to the game plan, especially defensively, because you may score one goal, but you still got to defend. One goal is never safe. Two goals are not safe in the Premier League. So if you're solid defensively, 1-0 can win you games. And I think that's where they need to focus on.
Yeah. Nige, this weekend, Brighton versus Tottenham at the Amex.
Yeah, a tough one to call. I think Spurs just edge it with the quality that they have. Both teams to score as well.
No, I agree. Spurs, especially coming off Champions League victory last night against Villarreal, I think they go there and get the result.
All right. Next up, we've got another London derby on our hands. West Ham United hosting Crystal Palace. Mark, the Potters, Graham Potter, is involved in the relegation battle.
I'm sure that man is losing sleep every day. I don't think he's leaving the grounds. I think he's sleeping in the office at this point. What a tough job he has on his hands. I'm not too sure of what's happening with Graham Potter. Is it the tactics? Is it the team? I don't know. I don't know what to make of this West Ham team at the moment, because he lost Kudus to Tottenham, but he still has quality players there who can get the performances out, that can get results, but it's just not working out. It's sad to see that fans leave the game early. They should be backing him. He is I do rate him as a good coach, but unfortunately at this time they're just in a dark place right now.
At the opposite end of the touchline, it looks like Oliver Glasner can do no wrong at Crystal Palace. Mm. They've started the season with 3 clean sheets from their opening 4 league outings.
Yeah, they've been super solid. Great to keep hold of Mark Gay as well. He's been great for them. So the back line is top. And then they can hurt you going forward as well. And I think they'll be licking their lips at the prospect of playing this poor West Ham team.
Mateta looks like he's ordered a goal as well.
Yeah, no doubt. They're so good going forward. Sa is a top player as well. So they have quality to hurt them. And they'll be targeting 3 points here.
You know, just this morning, Sky Sports was reporting that Oliver Glasner is into his final year of his current contract. Stick or twist?
I'll definitely keep him. I mean, top teams will be circling as well. Can they get him? Because he's been really good. 2 cups in the space of a few months. And with the Palace team as well, selling their best players, looking so good. So I'd definitely be touted by a few of the better clubs, no doubt.
Another 3 points in their bag this weekend at the London Stadium.
Yeah, I think Palace for the win here. I don't see West Ham threatening them. I think Palace are really good.
Yeah, I agree. This could also be Potter's make or break as well. So I see Palace putting the sword in the heart, yeah.
Next up, we've got Wolves hosting Leeds United. So far, like West Ham, it's looking like another relegation battle for Wolves.
Wolves are so good. They're so exciting. It's just unfortunate at this point they haven't got the results. The performances have been really good. They have some good players in there. They have a nice coach who's come in and steadied the ship last season. They were on the point of relegation. He came in. He took them maybe 17 points away from the relegation zone last season. So, and this season, unfortunately, they lost Cunha, which is probably their best player there.
They've also lost 4 from 4.
Now you make it even worse. So, but the performances are there. They are not playing bad. They do play some good football. I think now they just need to get the results over the line. And with home ground advantage, I think the motivation from the fans, I think they get it pushed over the line, especially playing a team that's in and around them as well.
Newly promoted outfit in Leeds.
Yeah.
Nice. Just before we touch on the clash, so far, what have you made about Vitor Pereira at Wolves?
Just same sentiments that Mark shares. They've been excellent last season to turn it around from their relegation battle, and thankfully they've been in the situation before, so just turn it around as quickly as possible. I mean, like Mark said, the performances are there. I think just 1-0 against Newcastle and then 3-2 against Everton or Brighton, so close games to lose. So Yeah, I think we could be standing and speaking differently if they got those results. So just get over the line, and I think great opportunity against Leeds to do so.
Well, I think it represents a great opportunity for both camps, because as a newly promoted outfit in Leeds, they'd be looking at this as a winnable fixture. I mean, you're going to have to get your wins from somewhere. Hmm. And if it's not going to come from the promoted clubs, you need to target some of those weakened Premier League clubs. And form is everything in the Premier League. I think we all can agree about that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they'll be looking at this current run that Wolves are on and saying to themselves that they can go there and get something, a great opportunity for them as well. So it'll be a fiercely contested game. But I think with the quality in the Wolves team, I think they just get over the line.
Yeah, Nigel covered it perfect. He said it right. So I'm with Nigel on this one.
All right. The third London derby on our hands sees Fulham hosting Brentford. Sharda with a goal last weekend for Brentford. He's off the mark.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked at how well that coach has come in. At the beginning of the season, I gave him no chance because I think this is his first high job or coaching job in the Premier League as well. I think he's been an assistant all his life. So to come into the Premier League unknown, losing some of your best players and still continuing keeping the standards as well, and especially getting that good results against Chelsea, I think he's doing a very good job. And the inclusion of Jordan Henderson surprisingly has been very good. And
it's looking like a masterstroke, if I'm being honest.
Definitely is, because he comes with massive experience. He's a winner. He's a leader as well. That's more important. And they do have some other good players. You mentioned Sharda, and Damsgaard as well is also a very good player. So I'm very happy for the coach and the job he's done so far.
Looking at Fulham, they were gifted a last-minute own goal in their clash with Leeds last weekend. It was a huge 3 points, though, for the Cottagers.
Yeah, no doubt. Fulham are always an exciting team. Marco Silva's a top coach. And yeah, he's got a very good squad to choose from. I think it's going to be a very exciting game between these two. Action end-to-end game.
Yeah, I think both opponents will be fancying their chances against one another.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially London derby, it's going to be fierce. Points are on the board here for the takers, definitely.
Yeah. Who's taking it?
Tough one to call. I think draw maybe both teams to score to be safe for my side.
Yeah, this is definitely a hard one to score, especially like you mentioned, it's an even playing field for both teams with 3 points on the line. So I'm also going with a draw, yeah.
All right. Sunday's action sees Aston Villa hosting, away to Sunderland before Bournemouth welcome Newcastle. Just at Sunderland, Aston Villa fixture, have you told me that we'd be previewing this fixture with one club in 7th and one club in 19th? I think I'd be forgiven for thinking Villa would be 7 and Sunderland would be 19, but it's other way around.
Definitely. As it's clear that Aston Villa have had a terrible start to the season. The Black Cats, exciting to see them back. But the only question is which Sunderland will show up on the day, because from the beginning to now, there's been a different Sunderland every game. And that's the only question I have with that team. So they've invested heavily in the team. They do have quality players. But again, in the Premier League, you need consistency. For Aston Villa, what a rough start. They've also lost some good players that they depended on last season, like Asensio and Rashford, who added a lot of value to the attack and to the way that Emre plays. So unfortunate with the start, but I know Emery is a good quality coach and things will start to turn around soon.
Yeah, I have to agree. Villa, dismal start. I think they scored their first goal in the cup of the season. First goal of the season in the cup.
Only one goal, actually.
Yesterday or the day before against Brentford. And they have to turn it around. The quality in the team is there. And the sooner the better for Emery.
Does their season get off the mark this weekend?
They will be definitely targeting it. It's been such a poor start, especially against Sunderland, who are newly promoted. But it will be no easy game. We've seen Sunderland performing 7 points, like you mentioned. That's no easy feat for a newly promoted team.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely not going to be an easy game. But I do see Aston Villa edging this one.
All right. The final fixture that we're going to talk about is Bournemouth up against Newcastle. Nick Voldemort scoring on his Premier League debut last weekend.
Yeah, I was the one who said that he's a player in there and is one to watch. I was so happy that he got on the score sheet, because if you look at his games in Germany, you can see for a player of his height, what he can do with the ball is actually quite scary. So as time goes on, he will adapt, he will get better. We're not saying that he's going to be a Messi or Ronaldo, but for a player with that height and good ball control, there's definitely a player in there.
They're going to have a tricky tie against Bournemouth. I mean, Nigel, we've seen what Andoni Iraola can do with his Cherries outfits.
Top coach. I think we are deliberating who's going to replace Emerson. I think he'll be high on that list. With his tactics, he's a top coach. He's lost half of his backline, maybe even all of his backline.
Yeah, I think all four of them have moved on.
And look at how they're performing already. Four wins, three wins.
It's actually 3 wins from their opening four. And that defeat was against Liverpool at the start of the season, where I want to say they looked very good.
Yeah, they were 10 minutes away from a draw there. So top tactician and Bournemouth are a team you don't want to face.
Yeah, what is the ceiling for this Bournemouth team? Because ahead of this round of action, they're in fourth place behind Liverpool, Arsenal and Tottenham. I mean, that's a certain pedigree to keep pace with.
Yeah, look, it'll be difficult to be as consistent and stay up there in those places, but they'll be definitely challenging for top eight, maybe a Europa Conference League spot, maybe even a Europa spot if they do continue this.
Yeah, I wonder if home ground advantage will play a factor here, because we know what Newcastle are like at St. James's Park. On the road, maybe a bit of staleness, I want to say.
100%. I think going to Bournemouth is going to be a tough fixture for them. I can't speak highly enough of the coach, Iraola. Losing your best players every season and still maintaining your grit, your quality, lifting the standards. Semenyo is some player to keep an eye on.
I think they pinned him down to a 5-year deal at the start of the season.
Then there's no question about it, because if I was a manager or the owner, I would have done the same thing. He is some player to keep your hands on and to watch for the season. The football that they play, how much quality he gets out of his players is incredible. And it just shows how much of a good coach he is, because it doesn't take any manager to get the best out of, I don't want to say nobody, but less favorite players from everybody. Nobody would take just any player from Bournemouth and say, no, he will start in my team. But he gets the best out of those players and he gets the results as well. So I'm so happy for the job that he's doing at Bournemouth.
I couldn't agree with you more. This weekend they face a former Bournemouth manager in Eddie Howe. Mm. Is he going to get one over his former employees this weekend?
I think tough. I think maybe a draw at best. I think with the form that Bournemouth are in, and also considering the form that Newcastle have started the league with, I think Bournemouth edge it or even get a draw, maybe a double chance on Bournemouth here.
Yeah, I agree with Nigel 100%.
Gents, that brings us to the end of this weekend's podcast powered by Hollywood Bets. From all of us in studio, thanks and goodbye.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, guys. And thanks to the listeners as well.
Shot, gents. Cheers.